Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I have with me life success strategist T. Renee Smith. She's written a book called Metamorphosis, How I Shared the Life Others Wanted for Me and Learned to Live My Authentic Life. Girl, that's gold right there. How are you this morning?
I'm so good, my queen. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome. This book, and I told you this before, I said the book is crazy good because you are so transparent in this book about your life. And most people, we might tell some, but we ain't telling all of it, right?
Right. I'm going to give you a little bit, but not too much for you to judge me.
Right, right. You're so right. You're so right. We are so afraid of being judged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. First of all, tell folks what you're doing and what does it mean to be a life success strategist?
Well, first of all, hello to everybody. And, you know, I always like to get down to it. I am a business consultant and a business coach, actually. So what happens is, so I help women build their businesses and develop their purpose and make it profitable. But what I was noticing with the women that I was working with, there was always a personal side to whatever they were achieving or not achieving on the business side. And so just as you have to have a business plan, you have to have a life plan. And I think so many times we get caught up and wanting to have success and money, that we don't focus on the intangibles of being happy, walking in peace, not being in fear. Mm-hmm. So the life success strategies, I actually help you to have a successful life in both your business and career, as well as your personal life, your marriage, your family.
So what's the name of your business?
So it's iSuccess Consulting.
All right. Talk about your life, how you were raised. You seem like you're kind of a little sheltered.
That was sweet.
Talk about your life growing up.
I was raised a lot sheltered, and I have to say it was my mother and my father wanted to give me everything that they did not have. Mm-hmm. So they both grew up where they had to struggle. They were poor, and so the finer things that they wanted in life, they didn't have. They both went to college and, you know, graduated with a master's, but they had to work for everything. Mm-hmm. So with me, instead of letting me fall and let me bump my head and make mistakes while I was younger, they tried to protect me. They knew all of my friends. My mother was a teacher, so she pretty much taught everybody. So I lived in a very controlled environment. And when I say control, it's just more with routine.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was just a latchkey kid. I was at home. I could do whatever I wanted to do. My parents always knew where I was, you know, for the most part, and knew what I was doing.
It's an amazing thing. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, addressing parents out there that that's not always a good thing, because your kids do have to grow up. And when they grow up, you want them to have a sense of confidence and be able, I mean, of course they're going to make mistakes, but don't shelter them. They have to know what this world is that they're about to go on and embark on. So,
and you have to teach them how to make their own decisions.
Exactly.
I think I knew I was going to be SGA president because that's kind of like the path that they had for me. I knew I was going to do certain things, but I really wasn't taught how to make my own decisions and how to trust my intuition and gut. So basically, whatever somebody told me, I was just so oblivious. I believed them. Mm-hmm. So you got to give them, I think, coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
That this is the real world, and let me give you some tools to be able to cope.
Absolutely, and learn how to make that right and wrong decision. What I see is that we don't teach our kids logic. There's nothing logical. I'm like, how did you just pull that up out of something? How did you do that? That doesn't make sense. So never thinking about the full gamut of the situation, just make a decision. No, that's not how life is. It's really not. So,
and they have to be able to deal with the consequences
They're
not so detrimental.
Right, right. Yes, yes. Small things.
Yes.
And I said, if you don't teach them that now, when they get to the big things, oh boy, there's going to be some trouble.
Exactly. And then as a parent, you're going to start saying, well,
what did I do wrong?
I did everything I, you know, thought I could.
Exactly.
I gave you everything that I didn't have. And I can't remember who it was, But it was somebody that said that what happens is we try to give our kids everything that we didn't have, mm-hmm. but we forget to give them the work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
We forget to give them the ability to make decisions. Like, because when they were younger, they had to figure stuff out just because it wasn't there.
Right. They didn't have Google.
Right. No.
That was no Alexa.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're just, I think, I just was not used to having to figure stuff out. Mm-hmm. And then when I was, I didn't have the tool set to make good decisions.
Okay, so that segues right into the next piece. You graduated from high school. It was college time. You wanted to go to an HBCU, and mom and dad said, nah, you're going to Georgia State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so Georgia State was way different
mm-hmm.
than it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not a lot of, you know, blacks at
mm-hmm.
Georgia State.
Mm-hmm.
And so since most of the schools that I went to, Douglas High School, they were predominantly black schools, my parents wanted to make sure that I had diversity.
Right.
So they put me in different things, like I was John Lewis's, Congressman John Lewis' first page.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only maybe five minorities. And so they wanted me to go to a school where I was going to be exposed to diversity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But again, that was them determining what
right,
my life path
right.
was going to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so once again, I just felt defeated in being able to make my own decisions.
So I don't know how much you want to get into how your life went left after this. I don't know how much you want to get into this. So I'm going to let you tell as much as you want to tell. I'm going to say this to you, to my audience. When you see this young lady, you will not believe it. Her story is probably a story of many women. And I think it is, right, T. Renee?
It is,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm. So go
and
ahead.
So one thing I will do is I'll be transparent because, Tawanda, when I shared the story, it was a couple of weeks ago. And I just kind of put it out there just to share and
mm-hmm.
be inspired. When I tell you we got probably almost 200,000 views, likes, comments, messages,
yes.
it amazed me. People
mm-hmm.
were like, oh, my God, I appreciate you for being transparent
mm-hmm.
and being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it, I can do it. I was like, well, wait a minute now. Hold on. My story is no different than, you know, anybody else's story. I think I just got to a point in my life where I got delivered and got free
yep.
of being concerned about what other people thought about
Absolutely.
Me. And I didn't realize how much bondage that
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm. It is straight bondage. Oh, my goodness. When you are a slave to other people, you'll never
mm-hmm.
live your best life. Never.
And I think most of us are so afraid of being who we are because people love us based on our representative. Like a lot of people are in relationships
yes.
with somebody that they
yes,
don't know.
Yes,
and
yes.
So we're fearful that if we show the truth or ugliness about who we are and what we've done, that people aren't going to love us. So that's why so many of us are being held by our past, held
mm-hmm.
hostage. And so I went left, very far, far left, because it was planned for me that I was going to go to school, graduate from college in 3 years, get my master's, climb the corporate ladder, and that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did graduate from college in 3 years, but I met somebody that would totally change the trajectory of my life,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why you have to be very careful with who you're in friendship with.
Right.
So fast forward, we actually started businesses together, you know, some things happened within the businesses, and I ended up going to prison for 3 years.
But you
and
know what? Wait.
Go ahead.
T, I got to say, as I was reading about just your movement through this before the prison, I was thinking, dag, you are so daggone smart. Look at all the stuff you did. Really, I'm reading it going, this girl is so smart. Look at all the stuff she's doing. And I mean, you were just fire.
When I tell you it was blood, sweat, and tears,
mm-hmm.
that's why when people say, oh, they were no overnight success.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
That overnight probably took about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So as far as schooling and research, when I tell you I was working probably 12, 14 hours a day
wow.
learning the business. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we had a record company. We went to the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a marketing company, a technology
mm-hmm.
company. So each one of those industries, I had to learn.
Wow. You were just smart.
So,
to me, you were just brilliant. You were just a brilliant mind.
So it was was work. It was a lot of work. But I wouldn't take that experience for anything.
That's right.
And so I remember I had to talk to my family, and I was telling them, because of course they were upset and they were angry, because the person that I was dating, you know how your mother, your father have that intuition and they can read somebody.
Yes,
even if you
girl.
Don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, mm-mm. And I was like, mm-hmm. And so they felt bad because they think I wasted 10 years of my life.
Wow.
And as I say in the book, I tell them, I don't care if I would have gone to Harvard or any business school. I never would have gotten like the hands-on experience that I have. So that is part of my lesson. And that cannot be taken away from me. So I don't look at it as a negative. I look at that as just preparing me for my destiny and preparing me for what I'm doing now.
Because here's the thing. God redeems your time.
Oh, my goodness.
So he redeems your time.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has. Even,
yes. And even in that relationship, and I say to women that are like, oh, there's no good men out there. Yes, there are. Yes, they are. I think all of the seeds that I sowed into that relationship that went wrong, I reaped the harvest in my husband.
Yes.
Because I still did right, even though I was being done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I still did right. I still did what I thought I was supposed to do. I didn't retaliate. And I think that just showed up in the wonderful husband that I have.
So,
and I always tell people that you're going to reap what you sow, but you're not necessarily going to reap where you sow.
Ah, and I like that. You said that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So while you were in prison, and I thought this was just phenomenal, God just set you up to let you see who you are, even in the midst of your chaos and your challenge. And, you know, oh, my God, I'm in prison. Okay, I'm in prison. But look at what you were doing in prison. And how many ladies did you meet that the same thing? I'm in prison for a man.
And, you know, it's funny because when I did the post a couple weeks ago, I had so many people that I was in prison with that reached out.
Oh.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Yes.
But I think for me, I never had to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
I think God had been telling me long time before. He whispered, hey, this isn't the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you need
to
do something different. Okay, so you know, I wasn't listening. So he finally had to send a Mack truck to hit me.
Right, run over you.
So, run over me and keep me down so I could get up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he had to send me to a place where I was going to sit down long enough to be able to listen to what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got out, he was still working on me, because it's not like I was fully listening when I got back home, because he was still telling me to do stuff, and I was still, God, I don't want to do that. You know how we bargain with God.
Yes.
God, if you just get me out of this, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get out of the situation. We still do the same thing.
Right. Absolutely.
That's basically. That's what happened. So I think me going to prison was the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to reveal to me what my purpose was. So I actually worked in the education department. And so like the life coaching and the business coaching and the strategy and all that I'm doing now, it was birthed there in the women's ministry and the business programs that I taught. It was all birthed there. And so I think if I would not have gone through that process, I would have missed it.
That's so amazing. So even in the midst of all of this, you meet your husband.
Yes. Yes. And what happens is a lot of times God will send somebody in your life when you surrender, you give up. Because I was like, God, this is just so detrimental to me. Because I was living in this beautiful 8,000 square foot house and had the cars and all that. And then I moved back into my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met my husband, I literally had nothing. I was going back to school and I was working in the family construction business. So I was rebuilding. So in my mind, I said, God, I'm going to go through this by myself.
Right.
I'm going to rebuild. And then once I rebuild, you know, if I'm not too old, we'll see. Because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be 20 years that we'll see what happens. And I think because I was just at that point of where I wasn't looking, I didn't have any expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I met my husband. And he and I both were in the process of rebuilding. So when I met him, I told him, I was like, look, I'm not looking for anything. He's like, who's good? Me neither. So we didn't put up these, you know, pretenses or, you know, things of that nature. We were just very honest. So he did not meet my representative, and I didn't meet his representative. We laid it all out on the table because I don't want you and you don't want me.
Yeah. And look at God. Yeah.
And look at God. Look at God.
Amazing. And what I love about your husband that I don't know, but I love his spirit, because although you lay everything on the table, you were actually going through your case at that time. Mm-hmm. He still loved you.
He did. And he joked with me now, because he's like, well, wait a minute. You didn't tell me you were going to prison. You told me you were getting probation. Now, wait a minute. I'm like, well, it's over now. It's over. It's over. You just have to deal with it. But the one thing I can say about him, his maturity level, because I was just a hot mess. Mm-hmm, do you hear me? Mm-hmm. I was a hot emotional mess, and I didn't even realize it. Yeah. And I didn't realize it until I got home. Because when I was in prison, I was still fixing everybody else.
Right.
And so I had suppressed everything, mm-hmm. and it wasn't until I got home and I was having to readjust that I realized that I was not this perfect Patty, and it was some real issues that I had going on.
Yeah.
But I think because of his maturity, and also the fact that shortly after we got married, a couple months after we got married, I got pregnant.
Right.
And so he was like, we had these children to raise, because he had a daughter before mm-hmm. he got married.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we had these children to raise. We don't have time to do all this. You got to get yourself back together. So he was rock steady the entire time.
Yes. Yes.
And he loved me when I was way unlovable.
Mm-hmm. I saw that in the book. I was
Oh my goodness. He told me, he said, because after I found out I was sentenced, I told him, I said, honey, I know this is not what you signed up for. So if you want to leave, if you want a divorce, whatever the case is, I understand. He said, well, why would you make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation?
Right. That was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And I still didn't necessarily realize the extent of what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, this is just like a temporary stop in a lifetime.
Wow.
We'll work through it,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get on the other side.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So having a baby in prison, having to give that baby to your husband and go back mm-hmm. to prison, my heart mm-hmm. just broke for you. But you made it through that.
I did.
You made it through. But here's the funny part is that when you got out and trying to control everything, you were such a control freak. Oh, my goodness. Am I right?
You see, I'm just laughing with you. Yes.
Ooh.
And I didn't realize it though. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just a free spirit kind of person.
Hey, your husband wasn't thinking that.
He was not at all. He was like, you are crazy. That's mm-hmm. what he was thinking. You are crazy.
But I think that, and I love that he gave you enough time to get it together. And after a while he said, you know what, honey, this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get it together. Or this is not going to work.
Mm-hmm. He gave me years. So I think what happens, and most of us don't realize it, if you're flawed as an individual, if you mm-hmm. have all this emotional baggage that you're carrying that you've never dealt with, that's how you show up in your
mm-hmm.
marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so much, it is the other person,
fix
but
him.
It is actually us.
Right. Fix him or fix her. It ain't
right.
me. Fix him.
Right. And so I had gone to counseling. Like, before he and I got married, like, mm-hmm. after I broke up and I was going through the legal case, I went to counseling, and so I thought I was fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think that I had the problems and issues. I thought it was him. And so I brought all this emotional baggage that my ex was trying to control me, and I put that on him.
Yeah.
So I was like, mm-mm. I am setting some clear boundaries here. I am going to do me. I am going to live my own life.
Right.
But that is so retarded when you're married and you have two kids.
Absolutely. Now you can't even think about it. That's all anti-marriage that you just said,
Exactly. So
really
apparently my light bulb was not going all the way up to the top.
Well, I loved it because you... This is just you. When the light bulb did get up there, you went in 200%,
mm-hmm.
with the school, with the kids and mm-hmm. the home, and you became the woman that you were supposed to be. I mean, you began to work on it, really work on it. And that's something that we all have to do.
But, we have to realize, because in my mind, I thought I was that woman.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, I was not. So I had this perception of who I was, and it did not match my reality.
Right, right. But if nobody tells you that,
right.
sometimes you will never know. Because
right.
sometimes you don't slow down enough for God to speak to you, to hear it, to feel it, to know it. And you just think, I got it going on.
And you have to be receptive, because the conversation that we had that changed it for me, that was not the first conversation. It was probably 500. That was, oh my gosh. No, because he had been trying to tell me, trying to be patient, trying to, and I just wasn't hearing him, because your perception is much stronger than your reality.
Right.
So what he was saying to me, I wasn't accepting it, because it was not my perception of who I was. I was like, oh no, I am a good mother. I work this business. I am superwoman. I do this. I wasn't hearing a word that he was saying.
My goodness.
So, yeah, let me not even act like he, okay, honey, we're going to sit down and have this talk. And I was like, okay, let's do it. No, it was years.
But, again, you work very hard in creating that home life that would be conducive for everybody. But here's one thing that I really, and it was, we're like 20 minutes into this conversation, but one thing that I really love that you addressed is that after a while, you didn't want to do certain things anymore. And I think you said you were, you had those feelings, but the feelings were that you were out of purpose. And I have been there. Lord knows I have. So I know what that feels like. And when you were talking about it, I was like, oh, my God, been right there. But a lot of us, we get out of purpose. And so we don't understand why we don't feel like doing something, why it's not interesting anymore. Where's that fire? I've had to ask myself, oh, Lord, where's the fire? What's going on? But you dealt with that.
But the fact that you even asked that question, a lot of people, we get just caught up in our routine. We get caught up in the treadmill. And so we don't like change. So even though we're not necessarily happy, or we don't feel like we're walking in purpose, a lot of us don't have the courage to own it. And then to step out and to do something different, especially if you're making money at whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
So it took me a minute or a while to reconcile, because I was like, well, God, this life coaching stuff and resetting your mindset and having priorities and boundaries, that just seems so fluffy and airy. Like, how do you make money doing that? I said, now with business, you have the marketing strategy, you have social media, you have executing this. So those are tangible things. So I think I was in my own way, because God is trying to show me the direction he's pushing me in, but I can't see how that makes sense.
Yeah. I loved it, because this one statement you said, you had to shift from your own mindset to being led by God. And if that, there's no truer thing that has ever been said, because we all have to get there if we want that abundant life.
We do. And what happens is, we're so in the driver's seat. We're so wanting to be in control and just like letting go and surrendering. And God, it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what friendships you remove, what business partners you remove. Like, that's such a vulnerable place to get in.
It is.
And when I started opening up to what God's purpose was, he just started shifting so many things in my life. Like, people that I thought were going to be there for a lifetime, gone. People that I thought were just casual, you know, now appear like they're going to be, you know, lifetime.
Right.
So I was like, wait a minute. What are you doing, God? Not them. Don't take them. Take them.
Right. It's amazing.
So it totally shifts, and you have to be okay with not knowing. You have to be okay with, I don't know the destination. I don't know where this is going to end up, and I'm just going to take the first step. Because I think so many of us are like, well, God, reveal the plan to me. Once you show me your whole plan.
Right. But then that's not trust. That's not faith.
Right.
That's not faith if you do that. So
just
that one sentence, I think, summed it all up. Because we have to take the superwoman cape off.
Because that is a myth, and it is not true.
It
and
that's sure
why I think
isn't.
A lot of women are unhappy because they believe that they can be superwoman.
And it will kill you.
It will. I think the only way you can be superwoman is kind of like Michelle Obama said, I have a team that does this.
Exactly.
I have a team that does this. I have a team that does this. So she looks like superwoman, but she has a whole team that's working with her to make it look like that.
It's so true. It's so true. This was such
a most of us are superwoman by ourselves.
Yes.
And so
No team.
No team. So it's just a myth.
Delightful book. Transparent, authentic, so very helpful, I think, to so many women around the world. I believe this book will go around the world. It's called Metamorphosis, How I Shed the Life Others Wanted for Me and Learn to Live My Authentic Life. We could go on and on. I want to let you know that T. Renee is going to be the keynote speaker for the Transforming Women Entrepreneurs Full Day Conference. And I'm trying to find the date. That happened. Do you know the date right off?
Is it March 23rd.
March 23rd, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be at the Commerce Club. You might want to just come out and meet this little fire plug right here. TWEmarch23.eventbrite.com is where you need to go. And I cannot wait to hear what you have to say to us, T. Renee. Absolutely love you again. And where can folks get the book and learn more about you?
So the book is available at all of the retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can get it at TRenaeSmith.com/books. Mm-hmm. That's TRenaeSmith.com/books. And on all social media, I'm at Coach T. Renee. That's Coach T. Renee.
And Renee, you wrote another book.
Yes.
Tell what the title of that one is.
And so that book is called The Authentic Woman, mm-hmm. How to Win in Marriage, Family, and Business. And the reason why that is so important is because we as women, we go through so much.
We give,
and oftentimes we're left out. We don't have our self-care. Our marriage isn't as passionate as we need to be. We're not as present with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So this really is a strategy and a tactical book that shows you exactly how you can have harmony in all three areas. The Metamorphosis is my personal story. It walks you through my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But The Authentic Woman is going to give you specific strategies.
Awesome. Awesome. TRenaeSmith.com. And she spells Renee R-E-N-E-E. Okay. Mine is R-E-N-A. So TRenaeSmith.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait to see you at March 23rd.
Thank you so much for having me, and you know you like my little motivational light bulb, so I can't wait to see you.